Well, we're going to get hungry this hour when we talk about the new Fair Share CSA Coalition cookbook, Farm Fresh and Fast, easy recipes and tips for making the most of fresh seasonal foods. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. You're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, May the 28th. I hope you had a peaceful and enjoyable Memorial Day weekend, and I hope you will join in as we talk about making the most out of seasonal foods that we find at our farmers markets or our community-supported agriculture boxes. What are the local foods that you are cooking up these days? Tell us how you prepare them. What farm fresh foods are you looking forward to the most right now? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. You can also tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guests, both in studio. Kira Mulvey is Executive Director of the Fair Share CSA Coalition, which just released the new cookbook called Farm Fresh and Fast, easy recipes and tips for making the most out of fresh seasonal foods. Good morning, Kira.
Good morning.
And also with us is Pat Mulvey, founder and chef at Local Time, a CSA menu planning service and a lead contributor to Farm Fresh and Fast. Good morning, Pat.
Hello.
And let's clarify this right off the start. Even though Mulvey is both of your last names, you are not related. How can that be?
It's an excellent question. We don't know. We do refer to each other as cuz because why not? But as far as we know, we're not actually related.
But you're in the same field, so to speak, and you're both from Brooklyn originally, and yet I think that's amazing. But anyway, we're happy to have you both here. And just to let listeners know, you're not related, but you do both love local seasonal foods. Tell us first, Kira, what Farm Fresh and Fast is all about.
Well, we're just so excited about Farm Fresh and Fast. It comes on the heels of From Asparagus to Zucchini, which is our cookbook that we've been selling for many, many years in the Madison area and throughout the country. And we think of both of these books as really good tools for people who love to eat fresh food to think about new ways to prepare them, how to cope with them, you know, just to make it a little easier to incorporate them into your everyday life.
I do have From Asparagus to Zucchini. What's different about this than the Asparagus Zucchini book?
Well, what we really are excited about with Farm Fresh and Fast is the master recipe concept. So it kind of takes From Asparagus to Zucchini and that baseline level of bringing these fresh foods into your kitchen and feeling confident in preparing them, and then incorporates some tools and techniques to help chefs think about, okay, so I don't have exactly everything that's listed in my recipe. How can I feel confident in being flexible, incorporating new recipes, and just encourages folks to, if you don't have spinach on hand, what other leafy greens can I use? How can I make this recipe work for me regardless of what's in season?
I like that because it scared me at first when you said master recipe because I'm not a master chef,
sure.
Pat. Do I have to be a master chef?
Absolutely not. The idea is that we can take a technique, a cooking technique, and present it to you in a simple, sort of identifiable way that anyone can take a concept, say pureed soup, and take whatever's in your refrigerator, throw it in the pot, and make a meal.
No, oh, well, that's good. I can do that, I think. But I do want to talk a little bit about what is in season right now. Here, I'll confess, I think I made a big mistake yesterday. I went to a Memorial Day picnic, and my contribution, as requested by the host, was a watermelon for, you know, the typical, picnic-type fare that we were having that day. And that watermelon was just terrible. I mean, it wasn't rotten, but it didn't have any flavor. It was kind of mealy. And it was, let's say there were plenty of leftovers of that. And so, I mean, I'm not going to ask you what else I should, but that's why local foods are so good, is that they taste so much better than something that probably got shipped 1,000 miles and wasn't ripe at the time.
Exactly. The watermelon you had was probably shipped from somewhere in South America, and it was probably taken off the vine before it had fully ripened and then put on a truck so that it could make the journey and turn sort of kind of ripe by the time it got here. And you're right, that is nothing like a really fresh, just picked from 20 miles away, juicy, delicious watermelon. So you're right. Local foods are special for a lot of reasons. The one that I like most is because they taste good. They yeah. taste better. I've been a personal chef for people for years, and many of them tell me, oh, I don't like asparagus. Well, hello, how do you not like asparagus? Asparagus is an amazing thing. They've probably never had a just-picked, really fresh, really tasty piece of asparagus.
Yeah, they might have had the real woody ones or something
exactly.
like that. Yeah,
dried out.
Well, we did have, that was one thing that was at the picnic, though, was grilled asparagus. And that's mm-hmm. all it was. I think there might have been a little olive oil on it or something, and it was put on the grill, and it was just fantastic. Mm-hmm. How else, though, can we make asparagus?
Asparagus is a delightful vegetable. I actually was just playing with it last night. I had some morels, which I buy once a year because they're so expensive. Yeah. And I had some ramps, which I don't usually have, but that's a wild leek that you can find this time of year. And I had asparagus from Crossroads Community Farm, which I bought at Westside Community Market on Saturday. And I sauteed them in a little bit of olive oil, and I added some dry white wine. Not local, but dry white wine. And then I boiled up a little bit of pasta and tossed in a little bit of the pasta water and tossed the pasta with this and a little dollop of garlic. And it was heaven. My kids ate their asparagus. My daughter kept trying to sneak the asparagus off her plate onto the table, but I said, put it back on your plate. My kids ate their whole bowls and even ate their asparagus. It was delicious. So there's a lot of wonderful sautés, grilling, roasting, steaming, pureeing into soups. We even have a recipe in the old asparagus to zucchini book where we make asparagus guacamole.
Oh my goodness. And with just
pureed asparagus and, you know, other garlic and onions and cilantro. It's good.
Does that sound good? My mouth was watering so much, my ears shut down. Did you say that you did? did you say that you put the morels with the asparagus?
Oh, yeah. We sautéed the asparagus and the morels and the ramps, and just delicious.
Oh, my goodness. Does that ever sound good? You know, morels, the same thing. I have heard so many good things about morels, and I was told just to saute them in butter.
Yeah.
And I did that, I thought, what's the attraction? It was okay, but it was not this heavenly thing that I was thinking it was going to be. Maybe I did it wrong?
Oh, I don't think you did it wrong. Mm-hmm. I think some people really, really like the earthiness of the flavor, and other people don't get it. I was just talking on Saturday. I went for a hike in the Arboretum with a friend, and she said that she is crazy about mushrooms and had morels, but what's the big deal? Same thing. I think it hits your taste bud or it doesn't.
Yeah, and morels, this is a very short season for them, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so get them while you can if you love them. And what else is in season right now? Rhubarb? Is rhubarb in season?
Yeah, rhubarb is just coming on. You can see any number of delicious greens that are coming both out of people's hoop houses and then starting now just directly out of the field. So spinach, lettuce, arugula is around. So, yeah, and we're seeing little spring turnips, the Hakurai turnip or salad turnip, these little white, tender, delicious. You can eat them fresh. We actually on the farm the other day, one of our people out there was just saying, they're just so good. You just have to eat it just like an apple. That might be a little extreme for some eaters, but they're delicious, just sliced really thin and tossed on a salad. They would have been really nice in Pat's dish that she made last night. They're great fresh or sautéed. And the turnip greens, of course, are their own delicious stir-fry ingredient or used in soups.
And do they have a little peppery snap to them or something?
A little bit. Mm. Right at this time of year, they're pretty mild.
Okay.
Yeah, the greens have a little more snap than the roots themselves. But at the first harvest of the season, they're nice and creamy and quite mild.
And they're very sweet. The same daughter who was picking the asparagus out of her pasta last night, the other day as I was slicing Hakurai turnips from you guys, from Blue Moon Community Farm, I was slicing them on the cutting board to throw into a stir fry. She was grabbing them off the cutting board. I was afraid her fingers were going to get in the way. And just snacking away on them. They're very sweet.
We are talking about ways to prepare seasonal foods and celebrating local foods and welcoming your questions and your own ideas. Are you fans of things farm fresh? Do you look forward to the first farmer's market of the year? Do you have a CSA share? Do you have a, what's in your box these days and what are you doing with it? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Checking the weather forecast for today. If you haven't noticed, it's raining in parts of Wisconsin. It's going to be a cloudy day today with showers and possibly thunderstorms, especially in the southwestern half of Wisconsin. Highs today will be in the upper 60s, cooler near the Great Lakes, isn't it always? Cloudy with showers likely, a chance of thunderstorms tonight with lows in the mid-50s. And tomorrow, a cloudy day and again, a chance of showers and storms. Sounds like it's going to be a rainy week. Highs today will be in the mid-70s. I mean, that's tomorrow. Highs will be in the mid-70s. Coming up a little bit later on the Ideas Network, after 7 o'clock, we're going to hear a couple of different perspectives on the idea of mandatory flu shots for healthcare workers. We will talk with a state representative who is introducing a bill that would ban mandatory flu shots for healthcare workers. And then after 7:30, we'll hear from a medical ethicist about whether that's a good idea or not. That's coming up in our 7 o'clock hour. Right now, we are talking about local foods, seasonal foods. Rhubarb, asparagus, morel mushrooms are among the many foods in season in Wisconsin right now. And farmers markets across the state are in full bloom. But what to do with all those fresh local vegetables and produce and foods? We are talking with a couple of guests who are behind a new cookbook that has lots of tips and recipes. It is Farm Fresh and Fast. Easy recipes and tips for making the most of fresh seasonal foods. And we welcome your questions for our guests. We welcome your own ideas at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We have with us Kira Mulvey and Pat Mulvey. They are not related. Kira is the executive director of the Fair Share CSA Coalition, and Pat is the founder and chef at Local Time, a CSA menu planning service. Both involved with this new cookbook, Farm Fresh and Fast. So, I was paging through the book early this morning, and I noticed, for example, that it did say, if you don't have fennel, use celery root or something like that. Is that right, Kira?
Yeah, that's one of the nice features of this book is it's full of suggestions for if you don't have, then maybe you should try. Both because you never know what the farm season holds and because we all have our own particular tastes. So, you know, you don't want to be scared away from a delicious tasting recipe because you don't like one of the key ingredients. So that core recipe, the skeletons of that recipe can hold true to new ingredients. So, you know, if it's August and the key ingredient isn't around in season, then you can find other recipes, or if you don't like that, maybe tweak it a little bit and you can come out with something that's just right for you.
And unlike the its predecessor, this is not in alphabetical order.
That's right. Well, it's not entirely in alphabetical order. So it's organized by plant parts for the same reason, trying to help it be intuitive to help people make the most of their vegetables. One of the key things we hear at Fair Share is, I really love my box, I love supporting my farm, but I can't always tell what everything in my box is. So, you know, helping people identify those vegetables, you know that it's a root vegetable. So you might not know which root vegetable it is, but if you go to the roots chapter, there's a whole bunch of small pictures, just little thumbnails to help you try to hone in on what exactly that root vegetable is. And then within that chapter, the community recipes that we've collected from contributors throughout the region are organized alphabetically. But the key structure is that it's organized by plant parts. So roots, leafy greens, pods, and kernels. And then within those sections, the recipes, the vegetables themselves are alphabetized.
Yeah, and maybe we should mention that this cookbook is a this is a fundraiser for Fair Share. What is Fair Share, and why do you fundraise?
Sure. We're a coalition of community-supported agriculture farms. So we're a nonprofit organization that's based here in Madison, but our farms are throughout southern and central Wisconsin. And we exist to connect and support CSA growers and eaters. So sort of be that liaison, help people get the information they need to learn about if joining a farm is a good fit for them, and then on the grower end to stay connected with your peer group and help educate and inform each other to grow the best food we can in southern Wisconsin.
And Pat, what exactly is a CSA menu planning service?
Well, it's a brand new concept. It didn't exist until last year. I have a business online that has a website that has a really detailed food a vegetable ID section with storage tips, cooking tips and tricks. And what we do is we partner directly with CSA Farms, and they tell us ahead of time what exact amount and number of types of vegetables are going to be in each box. And we come up with a menu plan that cooks every single vegetable in the box so that their members don't waste their vegetables. Our goal is ending veggie guilt one box at a time.
Well, you know, it's funny because last time Kira was on the show, I said I was ready to sign up for a box. Life got in the way, different circumstances got in the way, and I did not get a share this year. It's just my husband and I, so I was also afraid of wasting even with a half share. I was afraid of wasting vegetables. But what are in the boxes right now?
So right now I have three partner farms who are delivering, and we're seeing rhubarb and asparagus, we're seeing spinach, we're seeing arugula, we're seeing scallions, we're seeing some overwintered vegetables. Some farms are doing overwintered, others are not, but overwintered potatoes, overwintered Jerusalem artichokes, so the sunchokes, which are actually the root of a sunflower plant that are really unique and tasty vegetable.
Does anyone know if things are a little bit slower because of this weird spring that we've had? Things are slower?
Yeah, they definitely are, which is good news for you, Joy, because it's not too late.
Could still sign up.
Still join a farm. A number of farms have delayed their delivery a couple weeks. I mentioned before people are growing in hoop houses, so people are able to control some of that a little bit more, and whether they have a spring share or they're able to get going with some greens, you know, on schedule, they're pulling all their tricks out to be able to do that. But we are seeing some farms that are just delaying the start of their season a little bit because it's been such a wet, and with this week's forecast, such a wet, cold spring. So.
Yeah, and that's one of the things about signing up for a share is that you do share the risk with the farmer for whatever growing season or conditions might bring.
That's true, yeah.
Well, we are talking about Farm Fresh and Fast, local seasonal foods, and we're wondering what you are enjoying these days, and we are welcoming your tips on ways to use things that are in season right now. You can also talk about what you're looking forward to. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And since we just heard a lot of the things that are in season, but maybe you have a recipe that you'd like to share for asparagus or morels or rhubarb, whatever the case may be, let us know. Jerry on Facebook did share a recipe for asparagus with bacon, red peppers, and toasted pine nuts. Well, Jerry thinks, I'm not putting the bacon in there, though. Cook the asparagus in salted water until crisp tender. Drain and rinse in cold water. Chill and put in the refrigerator. Fry up the bacon. Drain and crumble. Lightly toast the pine nuts in a saucepan. Add vinegar and garlic. Boil over medium heat until reduced by half. Remove from heat and stir in the oil and some mustard. Allow the sauce to cool and toss with the asparagus, red peppers, onion, bacon, and toasted pine nuts. It says keep chilled until serving. That does sound pretty good. I mean, thank you very much, Jerry, for sharing that. Do you have something that you can share with me for rhubarb? Somebody brought in rhubarb. That's the only reason I knew it was in season, is that we have a lounge here where Wisconsin Public Radio employees will share their extra produce. And I almost picked it up, but I thought, well, it might go to waste because I don't know exactly what to do with it.
Rhubarb is a very tart stalk that technically isn't a fruit, but everybody eats it as though it is a fruit.
Oh.
And the most important thing to do, I think, with rhubarb is sweeten it. We're not supposed to eat too much sugar, but the reality is it's really tart. My husband tells stories about being a kid and his parents would grow rhubarb and they would pick the stalk and dip it in sugar and chomp on it.
I ate it like that as a kid, too. I did. Yeah.
One of the really cool things about this new cookbook is that not only do we have food recipes, we have a lot of cool cocktail recipes.
Oh.
And we partnered with several businesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most notably with Death's Door Spirits, who helped us to talk to some of the mixologists around the Madison area to help us think both about alcoholic cocktails and also about, you know, other ways to sort of help incorporate fresh vegetables into your mixers or your non-alcoholic beverages.
That is genius. So I can make a rhubarb cocktail.
Absolutely.
Of some sort?
There's a fantastic recipe. I've got it here. It's called a rhubarb shrub. This is a really
very
kind
nice.
Of cool, hip concept. I'm so cool and hip. I know about it. And shrubs are vinegar-based drinks that are that go all the way back to colonial days. And you basically, it's almost vaguely like pickling.
All right.
Fruit or vegetable. And then you make this shrub, you allow it to blossom and bloom and the flavors to combine. And then you can toss that with a little bit of gin or, you know, whatever you like.
But do I have to, like, mush up the rhubarb in a blender or something like that?
In this case, you're pretty much going to cook it over low heat and then just let it sit for a while in your fridge or, yeah, just let it marinate.
And toss a little gin in there and stir it up. Well, that's interesting. Maybe we'll share some more vegetable cocktail ideas as well as other ways we can use our seasonal produce, our seasonal foods. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with Kira Mulvey and Pat Mulvey about the new cookbook, Farm Fresh and Fast, easy recipes and tips for making the most of fresh seasonal foods. The news is next, then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking about fresh seasonal foods and getting some ideas on how to get the most out of them, the most out of our community-supported agriculture boxes and the bounty that we can find at our local farmers markets. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 6:37 on this Tuesday, May 28th. And we are looking forward to your questions and your own tips and advice on how to prepare some of your favorite local fresh seasonal foods. Maybe you're gorging on asparagus right now, or maybe you're making morel mushrooms or doing something with rhubarb or some of the early produce. 1-800-642-1234. Let us know. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guests are both involved with this new cookbook, Farm Fresh and Fast, easy recipes and tips for making the most of fresh seasonal foods. This is a fundraiser for Fair Share, a CSA coalition. Our guests are Kira Mulvey, Executive Director of the Fair Share CSA Coalition, and Pat Mulvey, Founder and Local Chef at Local Time, a CSA menu planning service. And I have a question from my summer intern, my new summer intern, Justin Williams, wants to know, he doesn't cook very much, but he'd like to cook more. So what tips do you have for the beginning cook for, you know, somebody who wants to eat more vegetables?
You know, Kira and I were just talking about how I became a chef later in life, very inspired by Julia Child. So I was in my 30s when I went to culinary school and changed careers from being a teacher. And my mother-in-law is an amazing cook. And I remember going to their home and she just whipped up this amazing pureed soup out of nothing. She didn't have a recipe. She just cooked a bunch of vegetables, pureed them, and it was delightful. And I remember thinking, that's magic. How do you do that? And one of our master recipes in here is pureed soup, because I learned there's a really simple ratio-based how many pounds of vegetables to how much liquid. You just simmer it, and then you puree it. That's a great way to introduce yourself to some vegetables. You can thicken it with a choice of starches. You can use the potatoes. You can use rice. You can use oats. Or you can thicken it with flour and butter roux. Or you can add a little bit of cream at the end. There's a lot of ways to thicken a simple pureed soup, but it's a very simple concept that you can throw any vegetable into, and it's delicious.
And when you say master recipe, just to clarify that, we touched on it in our first half hour, but this is sort of like a template.
Exactly.
And then you can mix and match or use different ingredients, but follow the basic guidelines.
Yeah, it's a technique-driven recipe. It tells you, you know, sauté aromatic type vegetables, garlic, ginger, onions, add X amount of liquid, throw in X volume of vegetables, simmer it till they're soft, puree it. That's all it takes to make a pureed soup. And it's completely and wildly variable.
Yeah, well,
you can do whatever you want.
Besides being someone who doesn't know how to cook, but good for Justin and anybody else who wants to learn to cook more, what other obstacles do you think stand between people and cooking their fresh produce?
I think one thing that we hear a lot is that I just don't have time. Like, oh, actually, cooking food from scratch takes so much time. I'm so busy. And that's really an issue that we try to address with this book as well. All of the recipes in here are designed to be fast. I mean, it's in the name of the book, Farm Fresh and Fast. So we want to make sure that those ideas, having fresh food, having good food, is not in opposition to being able to prepare a quick meal for yourself or for your whole family. So the majority of the recipes can be prepared and ready to go in less than an hour, some even faster than that, in less than a half an hour and ready to go. And a lot of that has to do with being prepared and having the basic essentials on hand. So there's a pantry section in the back of the book that helps people think about, okay, I am going to get my kitchen geared up, ready to, you know, at the drop of the hat or on my way home from a quick stop at the farmer's market, I know I've got, you know, to get to my practice or my rehearsal or get the kids to soccer later tonight, and I'm going to make time to make a fresh meal in between. So a lot of that has to do with having your pantry stocked with things that you can just grab and go. So you're not looking at things and saying, oh, I can't make that. I don't have, you know, olive oil on hand, that everything doesn't require a special trip to the grocery store, that you're ready to go with the basics. And again, a simple pantry can go a really long way to making a bunch of different variations on recipes.
I'm slowly learning. At first I was thinking you looked in my pantry, because that's what happens a lot of times is I will think, oh, darn it, I don't have that, mm-hmm. So I can't make that recipe. The other thing is ideas. I mean, I might find one that I like, and then maybe I'll make that over and over again, and it's like, well, I'm sick of that. So what else can I do?
That's one of the fun things with this book is you don't have to make the same dish. You can have the same technique. You can make risotto 100 different ways based on what's fresh right now, right today. But it's a different risotto every time.
Yeah.
But you only know one technique.
So tell me some new ideas for arugula.
Oh, what do we have in the book? I'm going to look it up because we wrote the book a couple of months ago.
So yeah.
One of my favorite arugula dishes is actually a fall dish. So arugula comes in the spring. It's a cold weather grower. So
okay.
You can get it in the spring. You can get it again in the fall. And I personally love to make a tomato vinaigrette, which you can't do in the spring, but a really nice tomato vinaigrette with onions and garlic, and put it on top of the arugula and then dress that either with grilled fish or grilled chicken. And that's a dish from Italy called Positano. But there's also a really great arugula pesto recipe in the cookbook. Any kind of fresh greens can be pureed with a little bit of garlic, a little bit of oil, a little bit of nuts and cheese to make a pesto that you can toss with pasta. You can top a piece of grilled meat. You can spread it on a pizza. And there's a really great pesto master recipe or pesto technique in the cookbook, and arugula is one of the ways that we demonstrate. We do these things called four-way recipes, where we give you four different variations on the master theme, and arugula pesto is one of our four-way recipes in the cookbook.
Yum. Sounds good. But and you said for the tomato vinaigrette, we can't do that now.
This time of year, you can find some tomatoes that are being grown in greenhouses or hydroponically. But to me, the really delightful tomato is a late summer, early fall, succulent, sun-warmed, delightful thing. And I don't know, I'm picky. So I don't like to eat that dish unless it's with that perfect tomato.
I have to admit, I do buy tomatoes at the farmer's market now, but they're not the same. They're not the same as the ones that have that sunshine in them or something. I don't. Yeah, it's and that's one of the obstacles of eating locally is that some of your favorite you only have a short time for your favorite some of your favorite things. But you get over that.
Yeah, I mean, for me, that's an obstacle, and it's also where the sweetness lies, because you wait so long for that tomato, and when it comes, it's amazing. And I am guilty of overeating the tomato when it's in season to the point of, like, feeling it in my mouth. And then I'm like, okay, I guess it's time for something a little heartier, and then the roots come along. And I'm sad to see it go, but at the same time, there's something else coming right behind it. So,
yeah. What is, besides, right now we've been talking about some of the things that are available right now. What's next on the horizon?
One of the things I'm really excited about that's coming down the pipeline is peas.
Oh.
One of the best treats of early summer. So we'll see those in the next couple weeks.
And are you talking about regular peas or those sugar snap peas?
Sugar snap peas will come first, and they'll be followed by the English peas or the shelling peas. But the sugar snaps will be first, and snow peas coming on the heels of those. So I'm excited about those. And I will use them in salad and prepare them, you know, toss them or saute them, but nothing beats a fresh pea right off the vine, so I just like to snack on them.
Yeah, I remember just picking those up at the farmer's market and eating them as the snack as you're looking at the other stuff. Well, maybe we'll get some ideas for peas and other things that are coming down the pike, and as well as talking about what's in season right now and things we can do with the foods that are in season right now. We are talking with two guests about Farm Fresh and Fast, easy recipes and tips for making the most of fresh seasonal foods. How do you make the most of fresh seasonal foods? What are you making right now? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up after 7 o'clock this morning, should Wisconsin healthcare workers be required to get flu shots if they want to keep their jobs? We'll talk with a Republican state representative who wants to remove this requirement. That's coming up after 7 o'clock. Right now, we are talking with Kira Mulvey, Executive Director of the Fair Share CSA Coalition, and Pat Mulvey, Founder and Chef at Local Time, a CSA menu planning service, about the new cookbook called Farm Fresh and Fast, easy recipes and tips for making the most of fresh seasonal foods. We are talking about what is fresh and seasonal right now, local foods, and wondering what you are doing with those local foods, whether you are looking forward to a particular food when it comes into season. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. What do you do with your asparagus or rhubarb or arugula or morels? How about peas? They're coming next. That sounds good. Peas. So, Pat, what are we going to do with those peas?
We have a really tasty recipe in the cookbook. It's for a couple of vegetables that you may not always know exactly what to do with. One of them is kohlrabi. Some people call that a UFO or a spaceship or an alien, but it's actually a really simply tasty, crispy vegetable, vaguely reminiscent of broccoli in its flavors. But it's a kohlrabi, snap pea, and salad turnip, those white turnips we were talking about, the sweet turnips before, the hakorai. It's a kohlrabi, snap pea, and turnip lettuce wrap. So sort of an Asian-style thing where you take a filling and you lay out pieces of beautiful fresh lettuce, put the filling into it, roll it up, dip it into a dipping sauce, and eat it. And this case, it's with a, quote, choice of meat. Any kind of ground meat works with it. Ground turkey, ground lamb, ground pork, ground beef, whatever you have on hand. And I think it's important to point out that this is a vegetable-centric cookbook, but it's not a vegetarian cookbook. There are quite a few meat recipes in it.
Well, sure. Meats are local foods, too, aren't
they? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because I don't eat them.
Oh, you're vegetarian. I didn't know that. Yeah. No, we definitely celebrate meat. We actually have a section in the book. Is it called Extras?
Extras.
That talks about eggs and honey and maple syrup and meats and other things you get. There are CSAs for all of these things. All these things you can get through CSAs or through farmers market, and you can source all this stuff locally. So,
when are strawberries going to be in season? That reminded me, because there are fruit CSAs too, aren't there?
Yeah,
there are. Yeah, and we're lucky. Our farmers have been working really hard over this strange and erratic weather we've been having. There was a lot of what we call frost irrigating happening last week when we had that dip in the night temperatures. So farmers were out in the middle of the night running water on their strawberries to actually keep them from freezing.
Did they survive?
It seems like they did, yeah. So we're keeping our fingers crossed to keep the thermometer above the mid-30s anymore. But the blossoms are on the strawberry plants right now, so they're at their most vulnerable. So as long as we can keep the temperature a little higher, we'll see those strawberry yields coming in a few weeks now. We'll see them to mid-June.
And will rhubarb still be in season so we can make a local rhubarb strawberry pie or something like that? Or something to pour over ice cream?
Yeah, we should be able to see the rhubarb. And then also rhubarb just goes right into the freezer really well.
Yeah, you can freeze the rhubarb. I don't remember a season in recent memory where the rhubarb wasn't at the same time as strawberry, do you?
It should be able to be still going on. Yeah.
Well, our listeners are waking up and warming up. Let's go to Eric in Wanakee. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Joy. Thanks for taking my call. Morning, Pat and Kira. I'm out at my vegetable farm this morning, hiding from the rain and into the show. And I've got some fennel coming in here pretty shortly, and that's something that often my CSA customers are sort of unsure what to do with, maybe haven't cooked with it a lot. And so I was wondering if you guys have any great ideas for folks with fennel.
Well, I'm harping here, but the master recipe concept of the book is a really useful way to use vegetables like fennel that maybe you aren't that familiar with. One of the master recipes is risotto, and one of the four-way variations that we offer is a fennel risotto that calls for Italian sausage, which you can omit if you're vegetarian because these are very flexible recipes. And it calls for fennel flavors, like fennel seed, as well as sliced fennel sautéed into the risotto. It's a really, really aromatic and delicious recipe.
And fennel has a licorice-type taste,
anise.
Doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Anise, that's it. It is. I think you can just eat it raw, can't you, Eric?
Yeah, I put it in salads pretty frequently, so that's often what I recommend when I'm writing newsletters to folks in the CSA. So, do you guys have any other vegetables that go well with fennel in a salad when they're raw?
Sure. Well, there's another to go back to the master recipe again. We have the fennel featured in our leafy greens master recipe section, which is a four-way slaw. And there's one that has a great title I love. It's called Miss Cherise's Fabu Slaw.
Uh-huh.
And it's a salad that involves kohlrabi bulbs shredded and fennel bulbs finely chopped, along with some green onions and a small head of cabbages if you have those in season, or it could be substituted for lettuce greens at this time of year. And it also calls for some finely chopped cilantro and some fennel fronds. So a lot of times our recipes only call for using the bulb, and those fronds are also a really nice aromatic accent. So it's a vinaigrette-based slaw that has these chopped up delicious vegetables in there for that good flavor.
All right. Thank you so much, Eric, for the call and the conversation of fennel. I love it. Gail in Berlin is with us now. Hi, Gail. You're on the air.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
The one that kind of caught my attention was quick and peas. What we did when I was a kid and I do today is a pressure cooker. Mm-hmm. You don't have to use a lot of water, just, you know, a couple of tablespoons or so. Get new potatoes, fresh peas, put them in the pressure cooker. 15, 20 minutes, they're done. And just mix them all up together, put a little milk or cream on them, salt, pepper, whatever, and go for it.
Yum.
Sounds like I'm at my father-in-law's house.
Yeah.
Works with string beans also.
All right. Thank you very much, Gail. Does the pressure cooker cook them too much, do you think, Pat? Or if you do it short enough time,
no,
it's
okay?
If you keep it
a quick cook, it's fine.
Yeah.
Some people are intimidated by the pressure cooker, but it's a wonderful tool for especially things like beans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because yeah. Beans can take a little while. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So that sounds good. Thank you very much. Let's see. Well, I was going to go to Norman in Danbury.
Yes.
Yes, go ahead. What is your question?
My question is about asparagus. And I love them, but I don't have a farmer's market, so I buy them in a local grocery store. And I break them like they show on TV as different cooks. So you've got like 6 or 8 inch asparagus, and by the time you break that bottom part off, you've only got half left.
Yeah, so is that right? Is that what we should be doing, is breaking off nearly the bottom half of Pat?
You know, I don't know what your grocery store's practices are, but generally speaking, the grocery store asparagus is being shipped from faraway places like California. And in order to keep the moisture in the asparagus, they cut the asparagus pretty low, pretty deep, usually down below the soil, to seal in some of the moisture, which means there's a lot of really tough piece of vegetable there. And so, yeah, you do break apart a fair amount of the poundage that you're buying. And a really great way to use that is to make a stock, a vegetable stock, or add it to a soup stock. So that doesn't all go to waste. But, yeah, you wind up with quite a shorter stalk if you have to snap off the tough end.
So we just talked a little bit about maybe is there something else that's kind of an unusual thing that we might be seeing in at the farmer's market coming up that we might say, what in the heck are we going to do with this?
Well, there's kohlrabi.
Yeah.
Our old friend kohlrabi always stumps people. It's kind of a weird-looking vegetable. There are always any number of unusual greens, so I think that can be confusing to people because you have the lettuce and people feel comfortable with salads. There's a million things you can do to change up a salad, but when you start getting into the escaroles
or mizuna.
And the frisée, mizuna, and we're seeing more and more of those because people are using hoop houses and being creative with the greens. And a nice thing to be able to do with a lot of these greens, the choice, is to be able to use them in soups. You can actually cook some of these greens. We think of lettuce, and lettuce is usually eaten raw, but you can be very flexible with some of these just lightly cooked or sautéed greens.
And, again, one of our master recipes is a really super way to use the greens. It's a braised beans with greens. What a healthy way to eat. You take some raw dry beans, braise them with liquid and throw in your greens, and you've got a full meal.
Well, I want to thank you for all the inspiration, all the great ideas, and all of the techniques that and master recipes that you have in Farm Fresh and Fast, easy recipes and tips for making the most of fresh seasonal foods. Kira and Pat, thanks very much for being here.
Thank you.
And thanks very much to Christy Taylor for producing this program. Thanks to Justin Williams and Robin Cherry for on-air production. And thank you for listening. You can continue to post your ideas on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.